Going back to the text that was just read for your hearing, it reads to us once again in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For with God all things are possible." Some of you may remember the old TV series Mission Impossible. And I'm not talking about the remix version or the movie with Tom Cruise. I'm talking about the original one. And for those of you who cannot remember, it ran, first of all, in 1966 and ended in 1973. Now, I don't remember looking at it myself because that was when it started. I was 3, and when I finished, it was 10. But I saw reruns a little bit later on. And this is the original one that had Peter Graves and Greg Morse, the African-American spy. Y'all remember that one? And so each week, if you remember about the show, it opened up with one of the agents, played by Peter Graves, getting the team's next assignment on a taped message. And the taped message, the message was always the same. "Good morning, Mr. Phelps. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is..." And it would go ahead with the mission. And then the IMF at that time, which is called the Impossible Mission Force, Greg Morse and the rest of the agents had to take on these difficult situations to get the mission done. And if you had the opportunity to watch these particular reruns, especially for me, may have been first run for you, you saw that they had some very difficult situations they had to deal with. And a lot of times it seems like, in the crux of the story, of the play or the movie, so to speak, it seems like these situations were impossible. They were going into different countries and rescuing people and going into jungles in different places. And it seems like just when it seems they were going to be caught or something was wrong, they would get out of an impossible situation. And even at the conclusion of the explanation on the tape, the voice always said, "This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And then you had that ominous music that was playing every week on that particular show. Now, that was just a TV show. And, you know, TV makes situations look good, does it not? TV and movies make the impossible look possible. But we know for many of us today, life is not exactly like that. There are situations in which we find ourselves that we believe or we have the thought that there is no way that God is going to bring us out. There is no way that God is going to make sure that this situation works out. There is no way that God can use me to further God's kingdom. There is no way that that person is going to get themselves out of that particular situation. But yet, I believe this story lets us know that God can make the impossible possible. We find out here that Jesus had been traveling in the lands, doing his ministry. And many of us know that as Jesus went along, Jesus came upon many people who had questions for him, many people that wanted him to solve something for them, many of them that wanted to be cured, maybe some of them who wanted a particular position, maybe some of them that needed to be healed from what they had been going through. But in this particular situation, there was a rich man. Many of you may know in your Bibles, it says in some of your texts, it's a rich young man. We don't know if he's necessarily young, but what we do know is the man has a lot of money. We know that this man apparently must have been a follower of Jesus. Might not have been a Jew per se, but someone who knew who Jesus was. Someone who maybe had an eyewitness account of what Jesus had been doing. Or maybe somebody told him that Jesus can do some things. And so as Jesus was walking along with his disciples, he comes upon this man who kneels before him, gives him honor, and says to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, on the surface of things, it seems like this man might have been playing with Jesus, or maybe this man might have been testing Jesus. Because if he was a follower, he knew what he needed to do, did he not? If you're following Jesus and something happens to you, you don't need to ask me what I need to do. You know what you need to do. But the one thing that he does call, he says, good teacher. I guess he didn't know what else to call him. He didn't know to call him Jesus or call him rabbi, whatever the case may be. But maybe let's take it on face value that he was sincere about what he was asking. And so he asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So what must I do that after I leave this world, that I will be with you and everybody else? But then Jesus turned the situation back on him. So Jesus was not going to say what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what God, my Father, says you should do. And took him right back to the commandments. You know what you need to do. You don't need to murder anybody. You don't need to commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. In other words, you shouldn't lie. Don't lie to nobody. You shouldn't defraud anybody. Honor your father and your mother. Now, it's interesting here that Jesus told them the second half of the commandment, but he didn't say the first half of them. So not only was it talking about what you need to do with God, but how you need to treat other people. So that's what's going on here in this particular text. Maybe Jesus knew that he wasn't treating other people right. Maybe he knew that he was defrauding people. Maybe he knew that he was stealing. Maybe he knew that he wasn't honoring his father and his mother. But yet the man comes back with him and says, teacher, I have kept all these. Now, he doesn't say I kept all these just recently. He says I kept all these since I was young. So it seems like on the surface of things that this rich man had been doing everything that God had commanded already. So he was good, right? You can just imagine as Jesus was telling him, you shall not, you shall not. He was like, well, I did this. I did that too. Oh, no, I didn't do that. I didn't lie to nobody. Yeah, I honor my father and my mother. He says, well, I'm good. He says, whatever you got else for me, Jesus, I think I can handle it. But Jesus throws another curveball at him and says, looking at him lovingly, Jesus did not take this man on a false pretense. Jesus loved him. Jesus cared for this man. Jesus knew that this man, no matter what his motives was sincere about what he was asking. But you can also imagine Jesus also felt sorry for him. Because the next thing that he said, he knew that that man could not do. And he told him, you lack one thing. You've done everything else but one thing. Go and sell what you got. Get rid of that gold. Get rid of that title and the positions. Let your servants go. Take all that gold that you have and give it to somebody else. Let that concubine go. You need to not be messing with them in the first place. Let all that stuff go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And then he tells him, on top of that, if you get rid of all the earthly stuff, all the earthly riches, you will have treasure in heaven. And then when you do all that, then you can come and follow me. So we find out all you have to do is one thing. He didn't do all the rest of that stuff. Well, he had to do all the rest of this stuff, but that wasn't what's going to get him into eternal life. All he had to do was do that one thing, which is probably, in a sense, in some ways, simpler than what he'd already been doing. But he couldn't do it. You see, because when he heard it, the text tells us he was shocked. He wasn't just sad. He wasn't mad. He was shocked. couldn't believe that Jesus would tell him to give up everything that he has to follow him. But he went away. And the text tells us he went away grieving. He might have been crying. He might have had something on his mind before he had many possessions. See, this man had enough that he couldn't give up anything, or was not willing to give up things to follow Jesus. And then Jesus looked around at all who had seen him talking to this man, and he told everybody how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want to share something with you here that you must know, and we see here a little bit later on in the text, that even the disciples were stunned about what Jesus had said. But you must know, in antiquity, it was a common belief that those who had wealth were considered closer to God, just like it is in some cases today. All we have to do is look at some of our TV evangelists and others who have a whole lot of money, and you think that because they're holy, they have a seat in the kingdom with God. It doesn't work that way. We find out, brothers and sisters, that it's so hard to get into the kingdom of God, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Isn't that something? Well, for some of us it's something, for some of us it's not something, that's all right. How hard it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astounded about what he said. Why is it just because somebody is rich can't get into the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus, don't you know that he and his family, they've given much to the temple where people worship? That he has been faithful? That he has followed all the commandments? He has done everything that you have called him to do? But the problem is, this text is not about saying just because those who are rich can't enter the kingdom of God. But what it's about is, where are your possessions in your life? Is your possessions so important that you can't follow Jesus? And you know, we say to ourselves, we'll give everything up for Jesus. Jesus came today, I'll follow him. But will we really do that? Are you really willing to give up that brand new car you saved up for to follow Jesus? Suppose you got a brand new job with the position that you had dreamed about, that you've worked so hard and finally got it. And Jesus says, come follow me. Get all the rid of that stuff and follow me. Would we really follow him? Brothers and sisters, when the disciples said and discussed among themselves, well, who can be saved? Is there some type of list? Some type of requirements for those who need to be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For with God, all things are possible. You see, brothers and sisters, God can make all things possible. You see, we can't get to heaven on our own. You can be in church all day. You can pray all the prayers. You can have all the wealth. And you can have nothing. But if you don't put God first in your life, it's all for vain. You see, brothers and sisters, it's about knowing that God can do something. But yet we live in a world where we feel like we could get to God on our own. Don't we have the same thing in our churches? We say it all the time. My mama gave this pew to the church. Or gave the carpet. Or we've been an elder for so long that I should have this position. Or I was born in this congregation. We say the same things in different ways all the time, but yet there's a God that tells us that we will not get to heaven on our own way, in our own whim. We have to give ourselves up. Do you know what it's like to lose everything to gain salvation? There is nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can do to obtain salvation on our own. And see, that old saying also is a lie. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. You've heard that before, right? You die, you take it. No, you can't take it with you because you're not going to need it, number one. Brothers and sisters, with God, even past the discipleship portion of this, with God, all things are possible. God can do anything. Because most of us, when we went to church and we were small, and we even say it today, God can make a way out of no way. We serve a God that can do some great things. We serve a God that can bring us back from sickness, do we not? We have a God that even worked through Elijah and brought back the widow's son from death. We have a God who raised Lazarus from the dead. We have a God whose God's son was born through Mary, through the Holy Spirit. And if you look back on your life, you can see that God has done some things for you that were impossible. You see, all of us in this place today, we are only here through the help of God. It's not about how many degrees you have behind your name, or what type of car that you drive, or how much money you have in your bank account. Maybe for some, but zero. But still, brothers and sisters, God can make the impossible possible. And for us to truly believe that, all we have to do is look at the text and see that all throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, what God has done and what God is still doing within our lives. God can make the possible out of the impossible. For many of us can testify that when the doctor told us there was nothing else they can do, God did something. Amen. That when we think that everything was terrible and there was no way out of our grief, that God can make healing possible. We find out, brothers and sisters, that even that we've been talked about, we've been scorned, and we have been disparaged, but God can still make the possible out of the impossible. Y'all remember your parents, or maybe somebody, maybe you had a teacher to tell you that you're going to amount to nothing. You ever had that before? But look where you are now. It wasn't because of their words. It wasn't because of anybody else. It was because God had a plan for you in your life. And it was because God had brought you out today. You see, brothers and sisters, God can make the impossible possible. But all we're called to do is believe, and what we're also called to do is to follow. You see, for many of us, we're too hooked to what the world has that we can't follow Jesus. But yet, one of the other things that this text says is that if you give up everything and follow Jesus, oh, you'll get some things. You'll get on this earth more than what you had bargained for. But it also says you will also get some persecutions. See, people have this mistake, and I think I said this last Sunday, that just because you give your life to Jesus, some people believe that nothing's going to happen to you. Okay, let me tell you. And maybe the rich young man thought that there was nothing going to happen to him. He has all the money and all the wealth and the status and the power, but it's not about that. If you give your lives to Jesus, you're going to hang on a cross just like Jesus. And if you don't hang on a cross like Jesus, some people are going to put you on a cross just like Jesus. You have to be prepared, brothers and sisters, that if you're talking about God making the possible happen out of the impossible, there's going to be some impossible things that are going to happen to you. But God is going to bring you out because of the possibilities of what God has already done through salvation history up until this point now. Believe in the impossible. Believe that God is using you. Believe that God is blessing you. Believe that God has gifted you today. Whatever it is that is separating you from having a true relationship with Christ, whether it's that loved one, whether it's that position, whether it is that status, I've come to let you know, all those things come to pass. But it is only what you do for Christ that will last. You see, Christ is looking for some of us today to understand, as Christ has made the impossible possible in your life, that you may do that with somebody else. God is calling us today that we may be a witness in the world today to let people know that no matter what is happening within your lives, God can still make some things possible. We have to be ready, people. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this true story. Then I'm going to sit down. ever since I've been here at Davy Street, we've always talked about we're going to build a brand new building. Now, I must say, I was sitting there thinking, we really hung up on this building. Now, not now, I'm talking about late, when I first came here. And so we talked about this for years. And there was a part of it that said, we're going to talk about this, but I don't think I'm ever going to see this. But you know what? And not only that, some of you may remember, even before I came, we had the opportunity to buy the property that was around us. And the man said he would never sell it to us. Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
Look what happened. God made the impossible possible. And God is still doing stuff. But we have to be able, can we follow him? Can we put behind all that stuff that the world tells us that we need to have to follow him? God calls us today to be faithful, y'all. But if you're faithful, you'll see what God can do. That God is making right now, even as we speak, for Davy Street alone, the impossible possible. And you can testify that many of your life know that God has made the impossible possible. Think about it. We here who are gathered here today, just as African Americans, for us just to get a college degree, the amount of African Americans even have a college degree. If you look at the stats, for some of us who are males here today, African American males, just being here today, looking back at all the people that we knew who are no longer here, friends that we had a chance to hang out with, people that we didn't even know that were shot and killed. God is still making the impossible possible. But yet, once again, it's not about, in a sense, reveling in God making the impossible possible. Our task is, if we know that God can do this, what are we doing about it? How are we telling somebody? How are we walking with somebody? How are we counseling somebody? How are we modeling to somebody that God can make the impossible possible? You see, because if we give our lives to Christ, people are looking for what you got. People are asking themselves, what makes you so happy in the midst of everything that's going on? You letting them know that there is a God, no matter what the world tells us, that's still making the impossible possible. Brothers and sisters, believe today, for with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Amen.